Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Freaks and Geeks. I'm your co-host, Stacy. We're waiting for everybody to join in tonight. Is anybody else on besides me?
Hey, Carrie's here.
Hey, Carrie. Well, I guess tonight, if you like mysteries and macabre, spooky and sciencey tales, tonight is your night. And we invite our listeners to always go ahead and go on over to our Facebook page. Give us a like, send us a message, let us know what you think of tonight's show. Tonight, I have the privilege, nay, the pleasure of being joined by the lovely Carrie.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Very happy
in
to be
April,
here, as always.
Oh, yeah. In April, are you there yet?
I don't
not.
See them yet.
Okay, and of course we will have the smooth caramel chords of Christopher once they can get everything online. But tonight we're going to be diving into a subject that can either give us our greatest desire or make real our greatest fears. And I speak, of course, of the djinn.
Ooh. Now, djinn, genie, they're all the same word for the same sort of entity. Djinn are supernatural creatures often mistaken to be originating from Islamic lore. However, the lore and stories behind the djinn date back to pre-Islamic Arabia. They've been referred to throughout history as being of awesome powers and canny wit, able to perform feats far greater than any man.
Yes, well, even today, in our modern and comedic interpretations, the djinn perform fantastical and amazing feats of supernatural power. Based off of a loose interpretation of 1001 Nights, Disney's own Aladdin even gifted us with an unforgettable djinn, played by the late, great Robin Williams. In that personification of the djinn species, we saw a great and awesome genie, who could grant nearly any three wishes. This representation of the djinn has become something of a Hollywood and even a mainstream standard. But what's the real history behind the djinn? I mean, are we really talking about genies here, Carrie? Or, I mean, what's the deal with this?
Well, I think that the genie from Aladdin is most people's kind of intro to idea of a genie or a djinn, but the original name, djinn, spelled J-I-N-N, is an Arabic word translating directly as to hide or to conceal. With context in relation to the djinn as entities, the most apt translation is most likely beings that are concealed from the senses. Sort of a fun fact, djinn is actually the plural, whereas genie is the singular.
Oh,
but that
okay.
Said, yeah, I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And I didn't even think of that. I mean, I wouldn't even think of pronouncing it that way based on how it's spelled. It's J-I-N-N-I, So that, you know, when we see genie, we see G-E-N-I-E. Of course, it's the English, but I mean, I don't know. I would have never thought of it that way.
Well, some scholars. Oh, go ahead. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. The ghosts of Blog Talk tried to keep us away, but here we are.
Nay, ghost of Blog Talk, be gone with you.
Yeah, just a great, great evening over here at the Brzezelski household, I tell you. Okay, so
I was just going to say, we were just getting started. We were talking about jinn, and Carrie was going into how jinn is an Arabic word translating to hide or to conceal, and she was just filling us in on some fun facts about the jinn. So that's where we were.
Awesome. Sounds good.
So some scholars believe the Arabic term jinn finds its roots in the Latin word genius, which refers to a sort of guardian spirit, but even this is contested among scholars. Another suggestion among scholars is that the word has Aramaic roots in Jinniyah, a deity of sorts all on its own. The claims of origins don't stop there, though, as some even claim the word has Persian origins and the word Jinni, which refers to an evil female deity.
What?
Yep.
What?
kind of makes you want to get into a little bit more of the etymology there.
Yeah, right.
Of similar sounding words.
It's a female deity.
Well, and I can tell you exactly what that sounds like, because that is my 6-year-old boy's favorite word to say at the moment. And he likes to say it while we're in the checkout line at the grocery store and call his sister a vagina. So it's always lots of fun here at our house.
That's amazing. Well, what we do know is that a great bulk of today's references find their roots in pre-Islamic Arabia.
Ooh, very interesting. Well, with rough references throughout ancient Arabia's history, we've learned that jinn were often regarded in the same fashion as spirits. They were detailed as supernatural entities which could offer boon or doom to those humans foolish enough to consort with them. Yet despite these well-known personifications and representations we see today, there was little actually documented of them in ancient Arabia. Some archaeologists theorize that jinn were worshipped and given offerings by pre-Islamic Arabs. However, with so little writings on and archaeological evidence regarding the cultural history of those beings, we have little to really rely on. We may honestly only know of jinn today because of traditional orations, passing stories and superstition down from generation to generation until the Islamic period finally came.
So I'm curious, so you and Carrie are ghost hunters. How many of the beings that we know of today are like the jinn, because it wasn't written down, but because it was passed down through oral history? I mean, I have to think that this is not something that's just, you know, for this particular type of entity.
I would say that you're right about that, as far as like the way that the tradition of the jinn has been passed down. However, I would also say that jinn are by no means akin to a normal spirit. So, like, you might have a woman who is attached to, say, a crybaby bridge, which is like a normal traditional thing that we have all over the country. A crybaby bridge. Have you ever heard of crybaby bridge?
No.
Or a goat man, or like there's always that like folk superstition that is passed down for certain areas. Crybaby bridge is just one particular story that is pretty common all over the country, and it's basically that, and there's all different versions, but basically that you know, there's a woman who's a baby. And for our personal, Carrie and I's personal hometown, the not the Confederates, but the Union soldiers were coming through town, and they thought that, you know, like, they were going to kill all the babies, so this woman threw her baby off a bridge. It's always some variation.
God.
Yeah, it's always a variation. We have one in Yorktown, like, there's a crybaby bridge, so it's all over the country. But, so that would be an example of oral tradition. However, Zhen are much more powerful than your average entity. They're not the same as, like, a normal ghost or spirit.
Okay.
I think, for me, the only thing I can think of that is even kind of similar to the Jinn are, like, the Tuatha De Danann.
Yes.
What's that?
They're, like, the original fairies, the original Irish fairies, and they're not, like, cute little friendly sprites or anything like that. Like, they are pretty
terrifying. She's not talking about Tinkerbell. She ain't talking about Tinkerbell.
They're like evil fairies?
Not even evil, just morally ambiguous, extremely powerful, almost like entities from another world. And if you read, like, the translations of the arrival of the Tuatha De Danann, it's like an invasion of aliens from another world or another dimension or something.
I learned so much by listening to you guys. I have no idea about these things.
Well, that is what we're here for. Us and the mice on your face.
Yeah, that was truly terrifying.
Well, back to the Jinn. As Islam arrived in Arabia and the Quran debuted, numerous references were made within the Islamic scriptures pertaining to the Jinn. Islam illustrates these spirits as a third type created alongside demons and angels by Allah, possessing free will like humans and being neither inherently good nor evil. Some Islamic descriptions even allege these jinn will face judgment before Allah during the final days to be sent to heaven or hell. Because of their fluid nature, the Quran warns of the dangers of dealing with the jinn, even going so far as dedicating a surah of the 72nd in the 72nd of the Quran to the jinn, called the Surat al-Jinn.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
Oh, hit us with those caramel cords.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can today. I'm tired. Hangry. It's been a long, long evening.
He says these things, but he really shouldn't. Listen. Can I get a consensus here? Can I get a consensus, please? All right. So, for Carrie and Stacy, and then all of you that are listening at home, his goddess of a wife, absolute goddess, went through and basically gave him his Father's Day present super early. And we went through and I basically authorized the funds, if you will, for him to purchase all of the components and to build his own custom computer. Now, what he's frustrated about right now is that all of the components of the computer came in, like, less than 2 hours ago. And this motherfucker has been upstairs doing nothing but trying to get these components to work together and trying to build his own computer. And then I made him drug him down here to get ready for the show. And of course, Blog Talk is an asshole, so it didn't let us on. So now he's acting all pissed off. But in my mind, he has absolutely no reason. No reason. I'm a beneficent Jinn or Gina. I'm a benevolent Gina, and
I have no quarrel. It's with the effort and frustration of trying to get the computer.
I mean, so you're just gonna take it out on me though.
Here's the thing. Chris, you're basically right now in, like, nerd utopia. So just take a breath and just relax and know that you have time. I know you want to put all these components together right now, but patience is a virtue, my dear. And I think you need to worship the Gina tonight.
Yeah, I think he does too. What?
Podcast.
That's totally PG-13. Have you seen PG-13 these days?
No, I haven't. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Well, back to the gin. The Islamic explanation for the origins of the jinn make for an interesting take. When Allah created man, he asked the angels and jinn to bow before Adam. In that moment, a solitary genie exerted his free will and he rebuked. His name was Iblis. Banished from paradise, Iblis became the devil and took the name of Shaitan. In response to this act of defiance and the change experienced by Iblis's transition into the devil, Shaitan?
Yeah, which is where we get Satan.
See what you did there. Allah sent prophets to the humans and jinn alike in hopes to keep both steered towards the righteous path.
We have actually told this story before. I believe we told this story when we were talking about. It might have been the devil. It might have been the episode on the devil, and we went in a bit of. Yeah, it was the devil. I remember now. We went into quite a bit of detail on not only Islamic beliefs, but also like beliefs around the world. It was a pretty cool episode. So I invite whoever's on and whoever is interested to go check it out because it's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a really good show. I remember that. And you can find that on any podcast app, right, April? You can download it still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you can find it. It's probably hyperlinked on the Facebook page, and it is also available now on iTunes and Amazon.
Well, that's awesome. So I know I have a couple of friends that are listening tonight, Lori and Meg, my friends from work, and I know that they've really been enjoying the show, the episodes that we've had so far, so that might be one that they could definitely check out. I think they'd really like it.
Well, thanks. Glad to have you.
So in both Islamic and pre-Islamic Arabian legend, there are several different types of jinn, for they are as diverse as they are mysterious. They can be known as shapeshifters, which to me that's just freaky, winged ifrit, which appear from smoke and fire, the sea-loving marid?
Yes.
Marid, yeah, and the ravenous ghoul, which reside in graveyards. Hey, is that like the same thing as ghoul?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Do good. I'm getting it. I'm getting it.
Oh, no. Ghoul.
I was thinking ghoul from Ghostbusters.
No, that's ghoul.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's ghoul. That's the minion of Gozer. Regardless their type, all jinn are said to possess otherworldly powers. They can shapeshift, fly, use telepathy, and yes, even grant the wishes of men in some form or another. And what about the wishes of women? I mean, what the hell? Oh, wait, never mind. We're the Zhiny.
Yeah. Yep.
The Jinn is us.
Nope. The Zhiny.
It is said, though, that only the most powerful of Jinn could grant the wishes of men. And even then, those who could would often tempt man and twist the meaning of their wish into something awful, delighting in the chaos they cause. Yeah, that sounds a lot like something the devil would do. As much as they are often portrayed or believed to be entities of evil powers, in context, the jinn are simply mischievous spirits, often acting out of self-interest and personal entertainment. Yeah, that sounds like, you know, It reminds me of if you're like, you've seen movies where people are like on a Ouija board and they're like asking all these fun questions and all of a sudden the shit goes south, you know? And yeah, it just sounds like something you shouldn't be messing with. I don't know, my personal opinion.
Makes me wonder how powerful of a djinn Robin Williams was. Yeah.
Well, he did say that you'll never have a friend like him.
I will never have a friend like him.
Or Will Smith.
I'm not going to catch judgment until I've seen the movie, and I will see the movie.
Okay, you mean watch them by yourself, but okay.
Well, that's because you're casting judgment on something, you know, you're judging by other people.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I have never, in the history of Apriledom, have ever really been into any of that Disney shit.
That's
just not who I am.
You're wrong.
Okay?
That means you're not into Marvel or Star Wars.
Okay, so I'm talking about the traditional Disney stuff. I'm talking about the princesses.
Or ABC.
I'm talking about the princesses. Y'all jazz.
She's talking about everything that has occurred before Disney bought everything.
Yeah, I'm talking about the traditional Disney. I watched
pre-2000.
I watch Once Upon a Time for Killian, the pirate.
Well, I mean, I do resemble Killian pretty
well. Oh, do you? Okay. All right, so we're going to move the fuck on, because...
Are you sure? I'm getting the vapors right now.
I can't even deal with you. Throughout Islamic lore, the djinn has continued to exist, even in today's modern age. Still believed in by many, the djinn are said to be anthropomorphic, able to change their shape, and can hide themselves from the sight of man on a whim. Legends even tell how djinn still live in communities, much like mankind, but do so in remote areas under magical veils that prevent mankind stumbling upon them. The air of mystical unknown has led to a great many local legends and novels to be written regarding the djinn. What about the legends, though? What are they, and what do they consist of? Well, let's get into it.
Well, at the edge of the Arabian Desert, southeast of the United Arab Emirates, is Bala Oman. What is so interesting about an obscure fort in a small Arab country, you ask? Well, on the mundane side of the house, Bala is a UNESCO heritage town and home to one of the oldest fortresses in the country. If you don't know what UNESCO is, it's the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Bala Fort is a 13th century fortress whose 12-kilometer-long fortified wall encompasses both fort and town alike. Many of the buildings are still built from traditional mud brick, with several currently undergoing restoration and reconstruction, courtesy of UNESCO. That is not everything to this ancient fortress town, though.
That's right. So Robert Lebling wrote in his book, Legends of the Fire Spirits, Djinn, and Genies from Arabia to Zanzibar, that the Arabian Peninsula is the heartland of djinn, and as the birthplace of Islam, the focal point of many djinn legends and beliefs. Bala is no exception to this rule. In fact, it is likely the best example of the regional history and legends attributed to the Arabian Peninsula and the belief in djinn. Bala was once a regional center for power and religion in its age. Great people often attracted powerful djinn, as the stories went, and stories of ancient generals who stood atop the fortress commanding djinn are plentiful.
Could you imagine, like, commanding djinn to beat up your enemies?
That would be pretty awesome.
That would be incredible.
You'd be like a sorcerer.
Yeah.
Do you think that could happen today?
Well, he's the royal vizier.
Oh.
He's not a sorcerer. If you watch the Disney movies, you know that.
He's a royal vizier and a sorcerer.
Right. He becomes a sorcerer because the genie grants him the wish of becoming the greatest sorcerer in the world.
And he becomes a genie.
Boom. Who needs to watch it now?
No, he becomes a genie because he gets tricked by Aladdin to say that the genie will always be more powerful than he is.
But right, but first he becomes the greatest sorcerer in the world. Just say that I'm right.
I refuse that.
You're right. You're right.
Thank you, Carrie.
We're going to watch Aladdin tonight. We're going to verify it.
Do you think this kind of happened? Do you think this could happen today? Do you think people can summon the djinn for evil purposes and, like, political gain and things like that?
I mean, I don't think why not. What do you think?
Sure.
Do you need her to repeat the question?
No, I was paying attention.
Well... It is, it's not just stories of powerful generals commanding the supernatural that permeate Bala's regional history, though. Outside the fortress walls, people tell stories of vicious spirits that would come in the night, devouring man and beast alike without discrimination. According to Dr. Mandana Limbert, an associate professor of anthropology at CUNY Queens, which, if you don't know, CUNY is CUNY, which is City University of New York, which is in Queens. Even today, those same stories are being told, and superstition casts its shadow over the area, particularly around three crumbling mosques outside Bala's wall.
I'm calling a timeout. So Jafar's three wishes were, first, to roll on high as Sultan. Secondly, to become the most powerful sorcerer in the world. Third, to become an all-powerful genie. He did have a fourth wish,
yes,
which was not within the genie's power to grant, which was for Princess Jasmine to fall madly in love with him.
That was supposed to be his third wish, but then he was told there are some complications with trying to do that.
Some provisions.
Some provisions.
Well,
to be talking about Aladdin.
Yep, super interested. Residents speak of the ancient mosques with suspicion and fear, telling them how they were once Sufi mosques, as their grandfather's grandfather said before them. Strange origin stories surround the mosques, detailing how they were once flown in, or that the Sufis were banished from the region thanks to their collaborations with djinn, bringing the spirits to Bala. These are not the only stories revolving around Bala, though.
Today, there are still stories of regular djinn sightings in Bala, ranging from benign to threatening. Some locals retell accounts of disembodied voices calling out their names, attempting to lead farmers astray, or even making them lose their direction. Other stories include the likes of stones meticulously stacked beneath the windows of the rooms of children. Of course, this is where the stories end.
Why would they stack stones underneath the rooms of children, like the windows? Like, I don't understand that.
I mean, maybe they're small and they have to climb up to peek in the window.
Oh, that's creepy.
I mean, I would think that it would come down to them just wanting to be... to show that they were there in some fashion. So they would come outside and then see stones being stacked up in an odd way and been like, oh, we're being watched by the djinn, bro.
That'd be a horrible trick to play on somebody.
I mean, I just assume they don't really have much else to notify their presence.
Yeah. All right, well, there have even been reports of djinn possessions within Bala. Djinn, being spiritual entities, are said to be able to possess inanimate objects, animals, and people alike, creating strange effects in the process. For one man, he explained the sensation of possession, feeling like wind blowing through one's mind. For another, he remembered his brother muttering against the wall in unintelligible words. Within Bala's inner areas, locals have detailed specific locations where possessions are most likely to occur, one being a stoop near tea shop, the other the shadows of trees near the market squares. That's creepy.
I'm going to say this town's got a lot of gin activity.
April, would you ever investigate it?
See what?
Would you ever investigate it?
Oh, absolutely. In a heartbeat.
No fear.
No fear. Absolutely not.
I mean, these are just like some of the, I guess, outstanding stories. I wonder how many stories in Bala just itself there are of gin.
I don't know.
I mean, you got to think there's like every family has some like story maybe that they have like passed down through generations, or maybe they have personally been like, yeah, I saw gin while I was walking to the market.
I believe.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, if you want to compare it to like ghost stories, think about like how many just famous ghost stories there are, and then think about how many just ghost stories an individual might have.
Well, that's true.
Do we replace ghost stories here with gin there? Is that kind of how we would equate it?
The way that we think about ghosts is not the way that they think about ghosts culturally. So,
right.
So gin would be the closest thing that they would have to ghosts, as far as the way that we view ghosts. I mean, there are.
Well, with the explanation, it doesn't seem like gin are necessarily people that pass.
No, usually they're not. Usually they're, although there are some as well, yes, but usually they're not people that have passed. Usually they are their own spirits. In that way, they're kind of like really demons or angels. They are not. Now, there are some stories from Muslim populated areas or ghosts, but there are very few and far between, as opposed to America. It seems like every house on the corner has something. They just don't talk about it like we talk about it.
It's not pop culture.
It's not part of their, yeah, it's just not part of their culture.
Interesting. We're all learning together. So, since we've covered some good stories in Bala, let's travel outside of Bala and see some other stories. Now, there are, you know, we have, like I said, there's other stories of the djinn in many places around the world, many still depicting them as untrustworthy or outright evil entities. One such example was in the Kikanwanda district of... I mean, my tongue doesn't move that way. Did I get it? Flipping up. The Kikandwa district of Uganda, where locals believed a genie was among them attacking and raping women. Which is insanely fucked up. When a disheveled woman appeared from a nearby wilderness, locals, including police, believed her to be the genie and attacked her, going so far as shooting the woman to death. The reality was, she was simply a villager that was her missing husband.
God, that sucks.
So, I mean, this kind of shows how strong people believe in the djinn. That people would, like, throw away a simple explanation for believing that this woman was the embodiment of. That is a hold that I don't know if I've seen. I'm just looking for my husband.
I don't think you finished.
So basically the explanation was that there was a supernatural being that was manipulating the woman. I don't know if you said that.
Well, that's terrible. Can you imagine? And that's like what you're going through. Like you're just looking for your husband and you have to try to convince these people that you're actually just looking for your husband. You're not a supernatural being. I mean, how do you explain that to people that are basically, like Chris said, you know, so strongly believing in this entity that, I mean, I don't even know how you disprove that.
Well, I mean, I think if we knew the answer to that question in all reality, we probably wouldn't have had the witch trials.
Very good point.
Shift public opinion or public focus in a different direction so they wouldn't see what was going on really.
What conspiracy voodoo shit are you talking about? I'm going to give this back to Christopher so that he can spin his crazy ass yarn.
I mean, it's documented that a lot of the times witch hunts have happened around Europe and, you know, in the United States. That there was definite turmoil going on within the government of those areas. And so witch hunts were developed or created so that way people would have something to look at, be like, oh, look that direction so you don't see how fucked up shit is over here.
I don't think that that's true. I genuinely don't think those people were smart enough to do that in Salem.
It's possible that some of them are just legitimately people being retarded.
Drinking that Kool-Aid.
This child is a witch. There's no way that they could be lying. Look at here in the Bible. It says, "Truth." What is it, like, leave the truth out of the mouth of the babes? No lies out of the mouth of the babes? Some crap like that? Can't remember.
No, I don't remember.
Well, I thought you read it on a regular basis.
I read the Quran now.
I have an illustrated Bible. You want to read it? I've got pictures.
I don't.
Okay. So, out of the mouths of babes is a saying coming from Psalms 8:2. God ordains strength out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Matthew 21:16, praise comes from this source.
If you ever have a question, all you have to do is just ask Carrie, and she's on it.
Yeah. You do, Carrie.
Carrie has a beauty.
Oh, she
besides
does,
just
she
being a human does. Google machine.
But Carrie needs to go on Jeopardy because she would clean the place out.
I mean, there's
yes,
a current Jeopardy champion, isn't
it? Huh?
It's a current Jeopardy champion, isn't it? That's like cleaning house right now.
Like, yeah, he's destroying it. Jeffrey is going to run out of money.
Okay. Another possible sighting of these spirits comes from Mosul, Iraq in 2003. A U.S. Army soldier from the 101st Airborne Division who was assisting in the suppression of a riot noticed a man riding in the passenger seat of a vehicle. While the driver flinched and squinted at the light, the passenger reportedly looked squarely at the bright lights with cat-like, glowing eyes.
Hmm.
A similarly disturbing possible sighting comes from FOB Endurance, also in Iraq. Soldiers in a bunker reportedly heard creeping footsteps, yet when shining their lights in the point of origin, they found nothing, not even footprints. Even the door to the bunker was still closed. Later the same night, the soldiers claimed to hear voices before their beds were violently shook by an unseen force, with absolutely zero evidence of who or what their assailant was. Now,
okay.
I'm
just going to say that sucks, because you're like in a war zone and having like supernatural experiences. Like, that's as bad as it gets.
We proud of.
So, I would say, so there's three things. Number one, the areas they're in, you know, is the cradle of civilization. It's like the oldest part of settled civilizations in the world. And so whether, you know, if there was going to be paranormal activity, then perhaps yes, there. And perhaps it was a gen. Number two
is that I have been a young soldier before. And being a young soldier, the imagination of young soldiers is known for being fairly prolific. So I don't really know about the legitimacy of this claim. I'm not real sure. And then number three is that, no, that's it. You know what? I only have two things. Just a grain of salt, this claim, and, you know, just remember that we were all young ones, and sometimes things like this are.
Well, to rebuke you when you're put into that.
Okay.
Rebuke your statement.
Okay.
When you're put into those kinds of situations, you tend to mature a lot faster.
I'm sorry. Have you ever met the Army?
Yep, I have met the Army. I've been deployed with the Army.
Those children are not mature, but in me.
I mean, but it doesn't say that they're children. It just says they're Army soldiers.
Okay.
I mean, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, but you're making me hear and think about all of my time spent in the barracks? And I just want you to know that that's what's in my mind right now.
I don't care what lesbian stuff you did in the barracks. It's cool.
Oh, it wasn't lesbian. Here you go.
Well, now you've just
put
it out
Lord.
There. Podcast line. And it's going to be there forever. I'll
annoy you. There's videos, so there's probably a couple other things throughout the program.
Well, that's great.
You brought this one as well.
I didn't bring anything up. I didn't bring anything up.
I have a vagina, but...
She wasn't always that way.
I wasn't always that way.
But no, I can... I mean, I've been myself being over there, like, I was 2008. I was 21, I think, when I went overseas. I mean, I wasn't grown up by any stretch of the imagination. Some people would probably still say to these days, I'm not grown up.
Yeah, but you weren't like those guys.
I can understand. Like, if they're in a situation where if they're in a bunker, there's probably a good reason they're in the bunker.
Yeah, but it seems like their living quarters are in the bunker.
I mean, if they're living quarters, then that kind of sucks.
It is, which is like, I think that's one of the fobs that was built in an older building. Like, the fob is on the outside, but the center is like an old building. So it's perfectly logical that, I mean, in my remembrance of Iraq is.
My thing is, when you're plopped into the Middle East as far as being deployed over here, you just get, you have a heightened sense. Like, you're always on it, wondering, like, what it is, like, well, what, that's not a noise I've heard before. What was that? Or, you know.
No, what was that?
Stuff like that. So, if they're based on that, if they're happening to hear stuff, then it A, could just be their nerves playing tricks on them, being like, you know, they're just maybe tired or just brains going crazy. Or maybe it was legitimately they heard pretty bad. Like, oh shit, what was that?
Well, I've been in some very painful places with military members, and I can tell you that we all took turns making jokes out of it and, like, trying to scare people as much as we possibly could. Like,
it's very scene.
Yeah. Well, see, but we didn't do tell scary stories. And then we were like, sure, we would make sure that they have watch by themselves at one point or something like that. Like, we would do shitty stuff like that.
I'm pretty dick.
That is, yeah, we were dickish.
You would be a mean genie or gyna.
Yeah, well, we are evil women, evil females.
is that what you're going to become? You become a gyna?
I already am a gyna.
We all are.
Just,
you just rubbed my genie bottle the right way.
Okay.
And now here we are.
Okay.
Just gonna put that down.
Moving on to other words that sound like they're referring to genitals. In Karachi, Pakistan, in 2005, a security guard was the focal point of his own bone-chilling story, as told by one of the families that had hired him to protect them. One night, the armed guard woke the entire household with a blood-curdling scream. Members of the family rushed out to see what had happened, only to be greeted by their armed security, frantically climbing over the wall and back into their compound. When prodded as to what caused him to fall into a screaming, wall-clambering fit, the man recounted the events in detail, telling of him seeing a rabbit hopping towards him, which swiftly shifted into a cat-like shape while moving towards him. From there, the illusion became even more disturbing, as the cat slowly began taking the shape of an erect woman.
Yeah.
Now, who wrote this one? Terrified by what he saw, he climbed the compound's walls, just as the family themselves remember. So shaken by what he saw, the security guard, which had served the family for a year, left the job, leaving the family to whatever fate awaited them.
It felt.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrifying. But let's hop over to Jordan, okay? More specifically, the ruins of Petra. Within this site, there are around... I'm sorry?
I was about to be, 7 days after Chris and I's wedding. That's where I was going to be stationed, was Petra.
Oh, really?
It would have been insanely awesome, and I was super excited about it. I just wasn't excited about leaving a week after my wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where that would be a downer. Well, within this site, there are around 26 different djinn blocks, so you would have been in heaven. These are tombs that are believed to be some of the earliest in Petra. It is thought that the block shape of these tombs may represent the Nabataean god Dushara, who was symbolized by a block of stone. But that is not the only reference to djinn within Petra. The location is said to be home to many of these spirits. Many people have experiences ranging from disembodied voices calling out people's names to apparitions being seen, sounds of sword fighting, or objects being thrown around. So strong is the belief in these spirits at this location that very few choose to stay there once the sun goes down, unless your name is April.
Yes, that'd be. So we actually watched the Destination Truth episode about Petra, and if you haven't seen it, season 3 episode, I think, yeah, it's 12 or 13. It's near the end. Anyway, so we just watched the episode of Destination Truth where Josh Gates goes to Petra and then examines the claims of Ven at the ruins. And he gets a rock thrown at him, and he gets EVPs, and there's a sound of, metal, swords clashing. Super cool. So if you're interested, by all means, check it out. Yep.
I mean, I'd be down for just visiting it for the sake of it being Petra.
Yeah, Petra is incredible.
I don't know how recent it is, but, it's now one of the 7 wonders of the world. So.
Yeah.
Hashtag bucket list.
One day we'll go.
Yeah. I can put on my cool
Josh
garb, my cool Josh Gates garb,
oh,
and ride a camel and have it spit at me.
Ay, ay, ay. For all we learn about these mysterious beings known as djinn, we quickly come to realize that we know barely anything about them. Through academics, scholars and religious figureheads within the Islamic community are quick to tell us as the sightings and stories, the djinn remain enigmas in the modern world. Are these spirits, as the Islamic faith describes? Maybe there are more, like living gods existing in a parallel world hidden from our view. They could also just be simple creations of human superstition and paranoia meant to explain away the seemingly unexplainable for the time being. After all, a man mumbling in the middle of the night,
in the middle of the night could very well just be someone dreaming, right? A shaking cot could also just be a minor earthquake or even stress-induced night tremors. That's what I'm saying. But what if they weren't? What if these djinn are real? They certainly seem to have similar traits associated to otherworldly spirits as present in countless other spiritual belief systems. Maybe they represent an era long past and have since grown tired of simply tempting mankind, but now instead choose to torment those who have forgotten them and forgotten the attributes once offered to them as deific entities. It's entirely unlikely, of course, as they're most likely simply just myths. But they aren't.
I mean, I kind of like the idea that they're pissed off that nobody recognizes them as they used to be recognized. I mean, if I was a otherworldly being that used to be praised as a deity and I went by the wayside just out of generations of, you know, drifting out of the collective unconscious, I would be kind of angry and want to play tricks on people.
Christopher, you get upset when somebody doesn't pay attention to you during a briefing.
I mean, but if I'm talking to the motherfucker, I mean,
3 years. He's been harboring this for 3 years.
Yeah, Colonel Brown.
Hey, stop it. He might be listening.
Okay, you can suck it.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
I ain't in uniform right now, am I?
Okay, all right. Calm your tits.
This is Chris talking. Hashtag real talk. All day. By myself.
Time to go night-night. Time to go night-night.
Back blue.
Anyway, so what are your thoughts on djinn? Are they real? What do you think of them? Are they, you know, beloved spirits? Are they angel demon gods?
I think they need to cross over the ocean. They need to infiltrate the United States.
So there are some beliefs that they have.
Well, where are my wishes?
That's not how it works.
Do I need to set up an altar? I can do it.
I mean, if you kind of go with the thought that belief is what gives spirits and gods and stuff their powers, as people move around the world, wouldn't their gods and spirits move around with them?
Theoretically.
Yeah, you would think.
Well, and so I had read something that was talking about the origin of the djinn. This was a long time ago. Pretty sure it was from like Rosemary Ellen Wiley or Sue Ellen Wiley or whatever. Yeah, whatever her name is. Anyway, she wrote a book about djinn, and I've read some of it. And she was talking about how djinn are actually elementals, and so they're connected to things. Like they're connected to certain areas. For instance, the djinn at Petra is basically assigned to that geographic structure, and it was that djinn's job to protect that geographic structure. Like anything that happened there was as a result of that djinn allowing it to, or the will of the djinn. So other places that are known to harbor djinns would be like bodies of water. And over in the Middle East, of course, bodies of water are very important. So, bodies of water, you know, landmarks, palaces, those kinds of things would be places that you find djinn, and their sole job would be to oversee and protect that specific place.
So, what you're saying is that stuff happens based on the djinn's will?
That they were given that responsibility.
What about their will, Smith?
Christopher, you don't get the hell.
She's putting a burrito to her forehead. That's how done she is with my shit.
I have a migraine. Frozen burrito. Oh, God.
Throw you a frozen pack of hot dogs up on the base of your skull.
Yeah, I've got right now, because, you know, we just moved into the new house, and, of course, we don't have any of those little freezy pack things. Is all I got right now is a black bean burrito. So,
oh, is that why we put them in there?
It's doing work right now, I'll tell you.
can get some frozen peas for when I,
How about we just talk about gin?
Well, I mean, it's really the gin that I...
No, shut up. nobody needs to know about
me. I mean, if I have the gin, then I have to search it. That's really the gin.
Can you stop? I'm not going to allow you to put any more security parts together tonight if you don't stop. All right, so what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Carrie.
I mean, I totally believe that they could be real. And kind of like we said earlier, I think that they're similar to, like, the Tuatha De Danann.
I agree.
I would say that I think that this is probably definitely real also, because I think that when you have generations upon generations of stories passed down, and this is obviously, you know, a deep-seated part of that region and something that has been around, like I said, just for a really long time, I think stories like that that last tend to have a little bit of truth to them, because if it was all completely bullshit, it would have faded out a long time ago.
Good point, good point. What about you, Christopher? Do you believe in the djinn?
I mean, if you believe in ghosts, if you believe in entities, I say you have to give credence to the djinn. I mean, just because it's in a different spot than where you are geographically doesn't mean that it's any more or less real. I like the... I subscribe to the idea that they are more on the side of spirits than
all-powerful genies.
Yeah, I mean, if they have some sort of malevolent power or ability to grant grant wishes, I think that it would be more akin to them playing on people's desires and twisting them to, like, if you don't literally say, hey, I want this, but also I want it in this fashion, and like give it to a T, they'll find a way to spin it to make it, you know, not enjoyable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these people, I mean, they're stories exist for a reason.
Oh, agree.
And, you know, it's given as much credence as these people give it. There has to be something.
Yeah, true statement.
It's as real as they want it to be.
It's as real as they want it to be. Hey, Carrie, question.
Yeah.
What is the concept of, because you give something, you believe in something, you give it?
It's a tulpa.
No, and you get a tulpa. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easter Bunny.
Yeah. So maybe Jen or Tulpas.
The Men in Black.
Maybe I'm a Tulpa. Everybody's a Tulpa.
Maybe we're just...
If you kind of think about it, it is, because everybody has a different... Everybody... You are a different person to everybody, and none of them is who you really are.
I agree.
I'm the same
That's
person as everybody
I meet.
Unless they ignore me during a briefing, then I'm a different person to that person.
You're just
it's
you're
like
being wrong.
I can almost hear someone talking. I don't.
Yeah, he won't forgive you. He'll
you got
go,
joke.
Like, periodically, he'll just get real mad about it for the next 3 years.
I can hold a grudge.
Yeah, he is definitely a grudge holder. All right, everyone. Well, this has been an outstanding episode. What the hell do we have coming up next? Is it SETI? Chupacabra?
No, actually, I think coming up next, we have Exoplanet.
Oh, geez, Exoplanet. That's super exciting. All right. Well, it is going to be a very Stacey-centric episode. Chris said he thought it was going to be ectoplasm. No, we were talking
about that's for the spirit sex episode.
Yeah, that we're going to save all that.
I mean, there's going to be plenty of ectoplasm during that episode.
That's ribbons and ribbons, jasm.
Oh, my God, that's so gross.
Okay. All right, everybody. We will see you next week for Exoplanet. We hope you stick with us. Go ahead and give us a like on Facebook. Let us know what you thought. And please don't be upset about this potty mouth and things, you know, whatever. All right, everybody. See you next week.
Bye, all.
Gina out.